I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One is Mark and John's the other, they're just friends, they are not lovers. It's two old queens, they're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens, it's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello. Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
And Mark, welcome back. It's so great to talk to you. We're back. It's exciting. It's an exciting time. We've got new rules. It's a new world we're living in. And who better than the guest we have for this episode? Mark, let people know who we've got.
Well, he's an actor. You know him from AJ and the Queen, Hand of God, and our favorite, Grand Theft Auto. It's Jimmy Ray Bennett.
Yay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Jimmy.
You're right. It is such an exciting time.
It's an exciting time.
Mm-hmm. Thrilling.
No one knows what is going to happen in a few years, where we're going to be 6 months from now. Who knows what the world
years.
Is. A few months. A
couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have to buckle up and go to a Dollar General tomorrow.
Oh, really? So, what do you need?
Well, I know that they're, you know, I've like called every store in my area of Queens. So I know that Dollar General tomorrow gets their shipment.
Okay.
So, and the woman that I befriended there has told me that if I get there at like 12:30, that's right when they put out the toilet paper and the Dawn soap. So I've been looking forward to it. I haven't left my house in like a week since last Dollar General Tuesday. And so, are you guys not experiencing any of that in LA?
No, I mean, I haven't left my house. But I've gone out a little bit, but I've basically been home for almost a month now. Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I mean, you look good.
Thank you. So do you. I do good without sun.
I did.
You're like a mushroom.
Yeah, exactly.
You did what?
I'm like a mushroom.
Oh, yeah. You're good in the shade?
Yep, yeah, exactly.
And depending upon if you're spotted or not, you could kill me?
Possibly.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing this weird, trying to figure out what Corona is to me kind of thing.
All right. Where are you landing on that right now?
Oh, it's horrible.
Right.
I mean, you know, I feel like I should have escaped early, but now I'm just kind of like hunkered down and, well, it is that weird thing because I'm trying to not leave the house at all. And especially now because I've run out of coffee, I've run out of a lot of things that I have to get, toilet paper and all that. And I don't want to leave the house. And it's not like I love being inside, but because I'm not a mushroom, but I just don't know how to prepare myself enough for the mental anguish of coming back and being like, I've got it. You know what I mean? Whereas I have tons of friends who are like totally fine with anything. They're like, yeah, we were out for like 7 hours on bikes and, you know, we had a 6 feet away child party and we're good.
Went to a sneezing house.
And I literally opened the window 2 days ago and I was like, that was wrong.
Have you had like, have you been using like delivery services, or does that still freak you out?
No, I was doing that. I was a member of Misfits, which is like gives you, like it's supposed to be, you think you're doing something good for like society and vegetables.
Oh, because you're taking like weird shaped vegetables.
Yeah, weird.
But you're doing like the unphotogenic vegetables.
None of them are weird shaped even. Like they, like to where they kind of give you an idea that you're going to get these oddly shaped things, and then it's just regular vegetables that don't aren't shiny necessarily.
So these are like
photogenic
crackers of vegetables.
Oh yeah, it's just bell peppers, some scallions, and like three potatoes where you can't do anything with them. You know what I mean? Like not enough to like create a dish.
Gotcha. So it's like Chopped, basically.
Yeah. So yeah, because they'll send like a weird 70s chocolate that you have to incorporate.
Perfect.
Right? Don't they do that on Chopped?
Yeah. And like hot Cheetos.
Chocolate.
Yeah. Like,
and like an old cable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, have you guys been watching crazy things on TV besides Tiger King? Nobody can talk about that anymore, right?
Yeah, we've talked about that.
I'm personally sick of Tiger King. I feel like it's the easiest joke to make. It's the Cards Against Humanity of humor right now. The unfunniest people are making Tiger King jokes and thinking they're hilarious. So I'm sick of Tiger King. Enough. We need to move forward. I think we're just so hungry for anything other than Corona that we have latched on to Tiger King. We have got to let it go. Watch something else.
I am too. I literally... Like, my cousin sent me, like, this meme or whatever, you know. Like, it was a grid of all of the characters from Tiger King, but with where they would reside in the neighborhoods of Tallahassee. And I'm like, we've gone too far. Like,
too much free time. It's a,
nope,
yeah.
Good. I don't need it.
And it well, speaking of, they're watched, pretty, yes. Oh,
no, let's go forward. Nope, let's go.
We've never recorded remotely before, so this is new for everybody. As you can probably tell, we are recording remotely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to be funny. And speaking of funny...
But you know what is not affected by this separate is segues, Mark.
Segues are still hot. Today we're talking about Funny Girl. John, tell us about Funny Girl.
Well, I would love to tell you all about Funny Girl. So Funny Girl came out in 1968. It is an American musical comedy / drama directed by William Wyler with a screenplay by Isabelle Lenart, which was adopted from her book for the stage musical. Thank you, thank you. It's loosely based on the life and career of Broadway and film star and comedian Fanny Brice and her stormy relationship with entrepreneur and gambler Nicky Arnstein. It was actually produced by Brice's son-in-law, Ray Stark, with music and lyrics by Julie Stein and Bob Merrill. It stars Barbara Streisand in her film debut, reprising her Broadway role as Fanny Brice and Omar Sharif as Arnstein, with supporting cast featuring Kay Medford, Anne Francis, and Walter Pidgeon. And Barbara Streisand won an Academy Award of Best Actress for her performance, and she tied with Katharine Hepburn for Lion in Winter. Very rare occurrence in the Oscars.
Very. By the way, Lion in Winter is my favorite Christmas movie.
Interesting. Okay. What makes it a Christmas movie? I guess there's a scene of Christmas.
Well, it's like she's released from prison to come hang out with the king and her sons on Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay. Great.
So it all takes place on Christmas Eve.
All right. This Christmas Eve, I'm watching it.
Yeah. But we're talking about Funny Girl. We're not talking
about... We're talking about Funny Girl today.
So, Jimmy, we asked you to pick a movie, any movie at all. Why Funny Girl?
Well, you guys, this was hard. You know, I when it comes to, like, trying to find... Because I know the premise. I've listened.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Thank
I'm not
you.
A neophyte. I'm not going to show up and be like, what are these questions? No, I know. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I think... When it came down to Funny Girl, I'm like, it's the gayest movie ever. Just because it has a gay icon.
Sure.
It has one of the most iconic songs of any drag queen performance.
True.
More over-the-top entrances, more over-the-top costumes. It has gay characters. It has some straight characters played by closeted gay men. It has... Barbara Streisand, which I think singularly should just like kind of put it on top. And if you want to just cut this short and give it to it right now, we're good.
Just like that?
And I remember watching it growing up. And like literally my entire life was Kenny Rogers movies, Church, Hee Haw, and an occasional Kate Nally, to where that's kind of how I knew that I was who I was.
Sure, but, sure.
But when I saw Funny Girl for the first time, I was like, what? I didn't know anything about Barbara Streisand before this. I didn't know anything about, well, clearly I didn't know anything about Fanny Brice. And I was, it just kind of took me on a ride. Now, mind you, I haven't seen it in a long, long time. So rewatching it was really good.
Cool, cool.
It's a long one. I forgot
that. 2.5 hours, yeah. She has an overture and an intermission.
And when that intermission came, I was like, okay, I need that. I need the 15 minutes. And I waited in line outside of my bathroom. 2 minutes.
For how long? 2 minutes? Yeah, it's usually not that long.
You know.
So, John, what's your background?
$19 for a drink.
What are you saying? I had seen Funny Girl, I think maybe once before, and I know I fell asleep during part of it, but I wasn't anti-Funny Girl, but it wasn't something that loomed large in my sort of experience. So this was maybe my second time seeing the full thing.
Had you seen it, Mark?
Well, hold on, I want to see what did you think of it? Did you like it? Did you enjoy
it was great, yeah. I mean, we're going to get into it, but yeah, I thought it was great. How about you, Mark?
I had never seen it before, could barely tell you what it was about if anybody asked me. So this is my first time seeing it.
Oh, my goodness. All righty.
Glorious.
So glorious.
Honestly, I thought it was a slog.
All right. Okay, we'll get to it. Before we get to the movie.
Okay. Sorry it's not Black Panther or some of your... I've gone to movies with you. You like them fast.
We saw The Dark Tower together.
Oh, talk about fast.
I think we should... Go ahead. Talk about The Dark Tower.
Can I just say, it's at least better than The Dark Tower, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's true. It's better than The Dark Tower.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good. I was going to say, we should talk about where we are with just Barbara Streisand in general, because I agree that like this is like one of her iconic roles. She is a big gay icon. Like, what is your opinion on Barbara Streisand, Jimmy?
Like she's a curious one.
Okay.
She I mean, I think when you watch her in this, and this is her first time on film, and she's also 24, 25, I think, when she did it. And
right.
it is a range of ages. She's unbelievable. You know, she really is. You're like, okay, I understand who this person is. This person has there's not one trick in the book, or not trick, I don't want to say it's a trick, but she does everything that she does in this one film.
Yeah,
mind you, it's the same things that you see for the rest of her career, but this is the first time you see every second of it. And on the page, I don't think that it's as funny as she makes it. Like, she really carries this film in a way that
elevates the material, you would say.
Yeah, she elevates the material. Now, mind you, I now listen to her. Like, I did see her at the Hollywood Bowl when she was there, like, years ago with, who is that? Do you remember those, like, weird, like, three young tenors that were, like, 18 or 19, but they...
The Irish tenor, the three tenors.
No, not the Irish tenors. Is it Il Divo or something?
You guys.
Oh, sure. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
But it seems like it was like the boy bands of like
the tenors. Yeah, the opera boy band of the moment.
The ultimate by Barnes and Noble.
And she has become like a version of herself that is pretty elevated at this point. She almost is the character that she plays in this movie right now.
Sure.
You know, like I saw, do you ever listen to any of her recordings recently?
For this, I re-listened to the Broadway album.
Oh, that's good. Putting it together.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Just for the scene work alone in that number.
But she did recently. She put out this album that has like her doing At the Ballet from A Chorus Line.
All three parts?
Oh, no. She has Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley. That's right. Yes.
And Anne Hathaway as the other Kate, and she plays Sheila. And literally, you have to listen to this because it's the funniest, because of course she sounds, her voice is insane. We all know that.
Right, yeah.
She always puts like scene work.
Yeah, she loves to put scene work in her songs. She really does.
So she literally, this entire song is like her showing up to the audition and being like, oh, hello, I'm Sheila. Hello. What are the lights? Oh my God. Like, and literally she sounds like an 80-year-old woman talking to 13-year-olds and then sing a song with them.
So it's perfect.
Oh, are you kidding? It's ideal. It's number one on my playlist.
Barbara, she was always someone like my mom liked. Uh-huh. So I was like, oh, that's something my mom likes. Like, I liked Prince of Tides when I was younger.
Sure. That was one for the kids.
I like that.
Child abuse is always for the kids.
Talk about a Tiger King or a Lion King.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
But I like her Christmas album a lot.
Okay.
That's iconic.
Yeah.
Sure. The best like, Christmas album ever.
Everybody says don't. And then I love that she has a mall in her basement.
Mm-hmm. Is that confirmed?
I think so. They made a play out of it.
Right.
You can't make a play out of something if it's not true.
I don't know if that's correct.
There's no attendance. It's not like there's a gap down there. But there is like a weird
design. Sort of. Like her antiques are displayed as if they are.
Yes. Okay, gotcha, sure.
It's set up in a weird mallish sense.
And then also, the other thing I think of with Barbara Streisand is the Streisand effect is like a phenomenon where people were photographing her Malibu house and she like sued to get them to stop photographing it. But that just made more attention to it. So by trying to stop it, she increased the amount of photography happening. And that is now a thing called the
Streisand effect.
Oh, wow. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Oh, what's your background?
The Streisand effect?
Yeah. Look it up. It's on Wikipedia.
Well, then it must be true.
Well, did you see her? Did you watch that, her YouTube video? You should, where she just kind of goes through her entire Malibu house.
No, I haven't.
You guys, it's worth it. It's
okay.
It's everything you want it to be. And it's also like, I don't think you ever see her. It's just a voiceover.
Perfect.
But it's always saying things too that are like the most crazy, obvious things. Like she's like, these are my roses. I've always loved roses. I love flowers. This is the door to my house. I've always loved opening a door. I love pictures. These are my pictures. I love pictures. And it's just like, oh yeah, we all love all those things. You love air, you love floors, you love ceilings. Like, we get it.
Nice.
Sure.
Were you affected by this movie specifically in any way, Mark? Or were you just like, let me get through it?
Some of the camera moves, like when she's on the train and then like the helicopter shot moving in really tight to her singing on the train and then they repeat that on the tugboat.
Mm-hmm.
Those were great. But other than that, I could care less about this romance. Like the most of the movie is concerned about this romance with this loser gambler who you know is going to screw her over. But you have this character, Fanny Bryce, they deal with her as an actress for like 30 minutes. And then the rest of it is this stupid romance music. Who cares about this romance? He's a loser. She could do better. I want to know more about her as the actress and the star and the performer, but we're just up. She's a woman. So it's got to be about the romance.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Oh, wow.
Apparently love is not something that you're into.
Did you buy this romance? Did you think, yes, she is right to be in love with him? He was so aloof and awful.
Oh, undeniably.
Yeah.
Well, because I did feel like, here's the thing. I do feel that Omar Sharif, with as aloof as he is, works so well because he is this interesting actor and character to where he's never truly abusive to her, but you realize why she shouldn't be with him.
Right.
And
sure.
And you can understand how he's so sensitive, but he doesn't want to live in her shadow. I don't know. I think that he's the perfect, because originally, apparently, like they offered it to Frank Sinatra, they offered it to tons of people who, like, in me thinking about them doing it, it would have been a different movie altogether.
Sure.
Are you a fan of Omar Sharif in general, or?
I only remember him in Top Secret.
A very different performance.
Very different performance. He's like killed in the first 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I've seen Dr. Zhivago. How old do you think I am?
the movie with a cow in boots, right?
Yes. Val Kilmer, yeah. A young Val Kilmer.
Everyone should watch Top Secret.
Top Secret is very funny.
Oh, I loved it.
Top Secret's better than Funny Girl.
You know what? Let's just change the movie to Top Secret. We've all seen it.
I feel like we should get, let's get going. A lot of shattered glass. Well, Jimmy, as you may or may not know, but it sounds like you do, we're looking for the gayest movie ever.
I've been told.
We have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system. We have a bunch of categories, and at the end, we're going to go through all these categories, and at the end, you are going to add a category, and it could become
canon.
We got to work on this.
It's tough with the delay a little bit, you know.
It's tough with the delay. So
I wanted to put it in Diane Cannon, but because you guys weren't completely on sync, I couldn't really get in there.
You are not going to become Diane Cannon.
We're not going to become Diane Cannon.
No.
But let me go to the own right, but she also married someone famous. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to go through the top five where we stand right now. We're debuting our new scoring system right now, Jimmy.
Is Muppets Take Manhattan still in the top?
You're about to find out if you shut up. Okay. Number five at 60.55%, Showgirls. Number four at 61.99%, Addams Family Values. Number three at 62.63%, 9 to 5. Number two at 66.49%, Meet Me in St. Louis. And number one with 69.17, The Muppets Take Manhattan.
Oh, I knew it!
So, we got a new scoring system. We have a bunch. We've jiggered things up a bit. Mm-hmm. We have three categories. There's canon, and then the wheel, where there are four random categories, and then there's bonus categories.
Okay, so is the canon things that you guys had previous to anything?
What's that?
Are those things that you guys had previous to any other?
We haven't had any new category. Well, there's one new one. You'll see.
Okay.
Let's get it.
So the first category in our canon category, we all come up with our individual score, and then it'll take the average.
Zero to 100.
So the first one is homoeroticism. How homoerotic is Funny Girl?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Funny Girl, in watching it again, it's not like... it's gay for Barbara Streisand. You know what I mean? Like, it's very much like always trying to make her look like not attractive. Like, it doesn't make anyone look better than Barbara Streisand, this movie. You know what I mean? Like, this movie is all about her and like making her be the big star, and everyone around her is a little bit dimmer because of that. Like, there's no other greater performance. There's no one who is even like really her equal. Sometimes the old ladies, but they're really funny and they're in and out really fast. But sure. No one else is like her equal. So I feel like it's not gay in that like there's no shot of a guy who looks sexy. There's nothing about like two of the dancers never like hold hands and go off have lunch together or anything like that. But there's something about it that I think is just, again, gay for Barbara Streisand. That's the only way I can put it.
That's homoerotic to you?
Not necessarily.
But let's add 100.
But I figured since we're talking about it, that's what I would like sort of add bring to the category. Thank you. I don't know. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I agree. There is like a weird homoeroticism of Barbara Streisand as an icon.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have those, like, they treat Omar Sharif in this movie like he is a matinee idol. Everything is kind of soft-lensed. It looks like the like first season of Drag Race. Like, it's all kind of these weird, slow turning shots where everything's kind of Vaseline'd.
But there's nothing between two characters of the same sex where they have sparks. You know, homoeroticism. Nothing
well,
like
what
that.
What is the definition of homoeroticism?
Something sexual.
Homo in Latin means homo.
Two people of the same sex, I would say. You know, classic, pretty.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. Okay, I get you. I hear you.
Mm-hmm. So what would you give this Funny Girl on a scale of 0 to 100?
For homoeroticism?
Yeah.
Okay, look, I really want to topple the king on this, but I have to be honest.
You got to.
Thank you.
I got to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that there is, we do eroticize our icons, and I do feel like there's some butt shots of Omar. I'm going to go 25.
I'm going to go 15.
15. There's really nothing. I'm going to give it a 5, just for those ballet dancers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about those. Can I raise mine?
Sure.
30. Let's do it.
All right, next category, actual gay characters.
Okay, well, Eddie Ryan, who is her choreographer. Is the quintessential gay best friend.
Yes, absolutely.
What's he? Undeniable.
Mark.
Yeah. He didn't seem like that sassy or anything to me. So to say quintessential.
He was certainly 1968 playing turn of the century sassy.
Do you think Smile was like the choreographer in Smile, I thought was sassier.
But that's actually, he also is straight though.
I'm just saying no one really struck me as like that gay in this.
I think he was like professionally gay, Eddie Ryan. He, like in the way that he was like, he was still like the choreographer / dance captain. So like, yes, he's going to be there for Barbara, but he's also like, he's got to rehearse the chorus. He's got to make sure that the show's going on and everyone's ready.
Did they ever make a allude to him like winking at a guy or like, oh, I'd like to get a piece of him or something like that? Is there any allusion, anything like that?
No, but if you ever see a production of Funny Girl around the country, Eddie Ryan's gay.
Yeah.
I didn't. I saw the 1968 William Wyler version.
Who took over for Sidney Lumet.
I know.
There's also the guy, do you remember that scene where Fanny comes and she surprises, right after the intermission, where she surprises in his cabin on the boat?
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's the steward that's sitting there, and then suddenly he's like, I just want to say that I loved you when I saw your show.
Oh, yes.
Fabulous. And he's very... Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So very what gay. Would you give the funny girl on a scale of 0 to 100?
Wait, what was the question?
For actual gay characters, how would you rate it?
Well, because I feel like Eddie Ryan, I really do stand by that I think that he's totally a gay character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go... And then the other small gay characters. And then you have chorus boys that are tons of chorus boys. I'm going to go 75 on this.
75?
Mark, it's theater. All of those dancers dressed as swans?
John, what are you going to give it for actual gay characters?
I agree with everything that Jimmy has said. But since none of the main characters are gay, I'm going to give it a 35.
Fair enough. I'm giving it an 8, giving it an average of 39.33.
Okay.
All right, our next category, camp factor. So Jimmy, on a scale of 0 to 100, how campy is Funny Girl?
Okay, I think that Funny Girl is, I think it's actually, I gotta go with 100 on this one.
100?
I mean, because I was looking, because I'm always confused by the definition of camp.
Sure.
And if I go by the, like, Susan Sontag definition, it's, you know, she says it's the love of the unnatural, artifice, and exaggeration, and there's so much of that in this. It's, I mean, she starts out in a leopard coat.
That leopard.
You know,
a whole ensemble.
In the mirror and says, hello, gorgeous. I mean, it's like, come on. There's also... The minute her husband is imprisoned, she's in a little girl dress and gives a press
that
conference.
Press conference, yeah, in the stage door. Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, I'm going to go big on that one.
All right. 100, John.
Well, it's funny, like watching this movie, I was like, oh, do you know what? Something that I think, it's not like elemental, but I think it's like a huge like red flag for camp is that like, the fashion that Barbara Streisand has, like her hair, her nails, it is so contemporary to the time the movie was made, but is wrong for the actual movie itself.
Right.
And yes. I feel like when the styling is that wrong, that's camp.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like when you're taking 60s fashion, like aesthetics, and doing like that makeup and those, like Fanny Brice never had nails like Barbara Streisand has in this.
Yeah.
They're talons. Like, that I was like, oh, that is like a real like solid camp thing. I'm gonna go 99 on camp.
Yep.
For this one. Yep. It's so campy. It's so absurd.
I mean, her final haircut is literally Kate Gosselin.
Yeah.
A real Karen.
Her hair, her like cat eye throughout the entire movie. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Well, I have a list of some of the campy things that I thought, campy moments.
Wonderful, let's hear them.
Slowly walking through an empty theater, fighting to get a part in the show, wearing crepes.
Yep.
Someone shouting, a telegram. a splashy production number, a bride in a bikini. My God, the entire bridal number. Smoking on a chaise lounge and arguing in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm going to give it a 60.
60? After 60. All that?
I mean, remember how much Showgirls had?
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
Well, let's talk about that bride number.
That bride number is, that's the highlight of the movie for me.
I mean,
has nothing to do with anything, but it's great.
I mean, the poem in the bride number where it's just three women staring poems. At
we are like, screen brides or something.
Yeah, I'm a screen bride. The horn of plenty.
Like, do they do shows? Like, is that what the Follies were? Just like a random
assortment? Yeah, they would definitely have numbers of that. Yeah, absolutely.
But that have nothing to do with anything?
Correct. It's just reviews, pretty much.
I guess this movie feels like, even for 1968, it feels old-fashioned. Even for not, like, it's here like 2001, Rosemary's Baby, Night of the Living Dead, all came out in 1968 and feel like 1968. But Funny Girl feels like it's from the 1950s or the 40s.
Oh, undeniably. It's like the
absolutely
of musical comedies.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just even those initial scenes where she's just like walking to the theater and there are 300 extras. And
in a crowd scene, you're like, oh, what a luxury.
Yeah. I mean, it's mammoth. It really is.
So Funny Girl has an average of 86.33 in camp. Not too shabby.
No.
Not too shabby. All right, next category. Over the top wardrobe on a scale of 0 to 100. Jimmy, was there any over the top wardrobe?
Once again, she gave a press conference dressed as a baby.
Yeah.
The roller skating number alone.
Oh yeah.
That entire scene with the curl in front of her face when she wants to get married in the stateroom. that entire scene when they go on the date, when she drops the stole. Every outfit that she wears is
insane.
Insane. Once again, the movie starts with her in a leopard head to toe outfit from the back.
Yeah.
And the minute she comes onto the screen, the lights on the marquee that say Fanny Bryce suddenly light up. So yes, over the top
wardrobe. That's star power.
That's star power. Yeah.
What are you going to give it?
100.
100.
I'm going to go 94 for over the top wardrobe.
94.
What would be more over the top?
I feel like there are things, I don't know, like I wanted maybe the guys were all in suits. Like if somehow, like you got to give something for like a Flash Gordon. Where like, you know what I mean? Like if Omar Sharif had like a pastel suit he wore, then okay.
And a cape? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A monocle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be part of the wardrobe department for sure.
A cravat would have killed him?
If Mr. Peanut was in this movie, it might elevate it.
Yeah.
That's the word, elevated. I'm going to give it a 65. Mostly the black number, but it just didn't strike me as too, like it's like, it felt of the piece. It didn't feel like too extra for me. It felt like very, yes, that is what these people during this time would wear, but there's more color now.
But I did feel like every bit of things that she wore was intensely tailored and so specific that there was no like, this is kind of my just like, I'm going down the street wear.
Sure.
You know? Correct. Everything was high fashion. Everything was the high fashion version of what she was wearing for her. And I think for other people, it was like very much the musical comedy version of what these old, like these Jewish women playing cards would wear this, you know, would wear this level of stuff in a musical comedy. It was like sort of right, but still extra. I thought it was still like bumped up.
It's a poly blend and it's, you know.
Yeah.
I got it.
And the colors are dyed, to be just extra bright.
Well, we gave it an average of 86.33, tied with Camp Factor. How about that?
Well, there you go.
All right, next category, drag queen inspiration. On a scale of 0 to 100, drag queen is something that could inspire a drag queen.
I don't need to say anything. It's 100%.
You need to say something.
Wait, what did you say?
You need to say something.
Okay, well, oh, that's right. I'm on something where I'm supposed to talk. It is 100 because it is Barbra Streisand. It is Don't Rain on My Parade. It is People. It is, wait, what was the category?
Drag queen inspiration.
Drag queen inspiration. Everyone does everything from this movie. This is if you guys don't both give it 100, you're rooting for something else. You're trying to elevate Hoosiers.
I'm also going to go 100 on this one for drag queen inspiration. 100. I think even for the nails alone, you have to go 100 for drag queen inspiration on this one. I feel like Barbra Streisand is her own category of drag queen. Like, she's like a subset of drag queen. It's Barbra Streisand.
People imitate her as drag queen.
So again, that's their career. Yeah. Is just doing Barbra.
Don't you think that she's the number one, like, I'm a drag queen.
I think, Judy. Her and who?
Her, Cher, and Judy.
I think the three of them and Ad Liza, and that's the Mount Rushmore of drag, probably.
Just, that's their Mount Rushmore. It truly is.
Mount Bushmore.
Yeah. And sure. Then Kesha. Go ahead.
I had heard the song People before. But what the fuck is that song talking about? It's like,
it doesn't make sense.
The lyrics are the most insipid things you've ever heard.
Yeah.
It really is my least favorite part of the movie, I'll be honest. Yeah. Except the dress she's wearing. And the scene work. The scene work is very good.
Yeah. Scene work is good. Yeah, but then you try, when you try to slam in a trunk song, it shows.
It I am also giving it 100 in drag queen inspiration.
Don't, yay!
Oh, Mark!
Don't add him.
Oh, thank you.
All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to a gay person? So your little nephew, Christopher, comes to you and tugs on your pant leg saying, Uncle Jimmy,
I actually do have a, wait, I don't, never mind.
You can't out him just yet.
Oh, good. We're just good. You know, it's just me and the world here. I don't have anyone in my family that might be my nephew and gay.
Gotcha.
I've recommended it to that person. I literally have recommended this to an old roommate who was gay. And he was like, what are those things? Because he was younger and he was like, because there really is a divide between, and we're not old, but the generation previous to, we can watch anything at all times and don't have to focus on anything as a collective.
Yeah. Right.
And so I have been there, like, what are the things that are iconic to gay men? And I always recommend, I'm like, Funny Girl, Barbra Streisand, that's one of our things. I'm like, I do Funny Girl, I do, I usually do Summer Stock with Judy Garland, which is my favorite. It was, she gained weight, but then she lost weight for the final number.
Right, it shows.
And then Cabaret. Yeah,
interesting.
Those are my three.
So what would you
those
give
good ones.
Funny Girl on a scale of 0 to 100?
Oh, right. 100.
100.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 100 as well. Even though, like, I 100. Think it definitely has flaws, it definitely is something that it's like, you should know Funny Girl if you're a gay person.
You have to know Funny Girl.
I'm giving it a 20. You are fine skipping Funny Girl.
Mark!
Wow,
her
Mark.
Rendition of Jingle Bells. That's you get as much chutzpah out of her Jingle Bells, her going upsot, as you do then 2.5 hours in a tenth of the time.
Upsot?
Yeah, that's the best part of anything. That's my favorite thing. And that gets you all you need. You get the same thing in that 2 minutes that you do from the entire 2.5 hours.
That's literally
the I disagree.
But I disagree.
And also, just look
I actually
up.
I think that you are doing a disservice to your community by saying that.
You're fine skipping Funny Girl.
Wow. Like, what is your number? I don't mean to go off course.
Go ahead.
But what is your, like, what would you recommend to, if a young gay Christopher came to you, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Maybe Showgirls. That's the first thing that came to mind.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but they're different things. Like, you can say, like, these are essential.
Well, he asked me what I would recommend. Right. I would not recommend Funny Girl to anybody unless you want to fall asleep.
Well, I mean, I guess it's tough because this is the first time you're seeing it.
And I was bored. It was hard to get through.
Really?
An hour after the intermission was just all about him gambling and his, like, the bond. Why is there a scene without Fanny Brice in it? What are they doing? Who gives a fuck about the
bond? You just sound like someone who doesn't like movies.
Please. I like movies.
I mean, it just seems like you don't like movies, Mark.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
wow.
You know what I mean?
I don't. Next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form on a scale of 0 to 100?
I mean, there's some, once again, there's some Vaseline lens on Omar Sharif. And maybe I'm just really, once again, as a kid from the country who grew up at rodeos, like the fact that this Egyptian man was suddenly on my screen and I was like, who is that? I need that. That's what I need. But that's it. They don't really do too much. I'll give it 30.
30.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give it. It's not really. I'm going to give it 15. It's really not that gay for
15. Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. It's like you could William Wyler straight as a board.
Yeah.
All right.
But he did a lot of great movies.
He did a lot of great Best Years of Our Lives.
Yeah.
All right. Next category. Entrances with pizzazz.
Come on. Starts with a woman in a leopard coat on the street where the sign lights up her name. 100.
Just for the one?
Are you kidding? Every entrance of this is like insane.
Yeah, there's a ton of great entrances. I mean, also her entrance in the wedding number is pretty great. Yeah. I think it's like a subtle but definitely pizzazz the Nicky Arnstein, like when his first entrance, they're like, "Dada, you think a guy's just gonna open the you know, like," and they open the door and there he is. Like, there's a lot of pizzazz. Like, it definitely has that, like, a character needs an entrance. Like, that definitely
That's
was like considered
the
in this one.
The one with Nicky Arnstein where she opens the door like 3 times and he's there. That's a huge entrance.
Yeah. I think it definitely, like, they pay attention to those entrances.
What are you gonna give it, John?
Did Jimmy give his score?
Yeah, he said 100.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give it I'll give it a 97.
97. I'll give it a 75 because it really peaks early. There's that one great one at the top, but there's never anything that matches it after that. But that opening one is great. I need consistent entrances, like Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's entrances with pizzazz every 5 minutes. This one shoots its entrances with pizzazz wad in the first 5 minutes, and it never matches it.
Look, I respect you, but you are a straight man, and I don't.
Like movies.
I don't understand it, but I respect and love you.
Thank you.
I love having margaritas, but I'm just a little angry.
Fair enough.
Every entrance is crazy. She comes in on strings in some of them. After the intermission, they open a door and she's standing there with wilted roses that have gone the entire journey of a tugboat to get to a cruiser. And she has smut on her face.
Next category.
Yep.
Dramatic lighting on a scale of 0. How dramatic was the lighting?
Oh, there's a ton of it. There's the marquee at the beginning. Barbara and the people scene. Like, every moment she's so lit for maximum effect.
There's that great scene on the dock with the sunset. Looks great.
Yeah.
And you're right. In the people scene, there's that one shot where the board, where she's on those stairs and, like, the board kind of...
like, frames her in just such a way. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go 85. On this one.
I'm gonna go higher because I think, like, it is lighting is like was obviously considered every inch of it. So I'm gonna go 91.
91. I'll go 70. Pretty dramatic. All right, next category, strident women.
Come on. Come on.
100. I mean, you've got Barbara herself, you've got those old women, you've got the chorus girls.
Posh? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the definition of strident. Right? Mrs. Trakosh, like a yinta putting people together at a poker game.
Yeah.
Oh, the funny lady. The other funny lady.
The other funny lady.
The one that starts like the, she's like, ah, you're just not pretty. And then later she's like, I always knew she was pretty.
Yeah.
Classic, right? Strident woman.
Classic Strident.
You're giving it 100, Jimmy?
I mean, strident doesn't mean fresh breath. It means like, just like, okay. Yeah, 100.
John.
I'm going to go 94.
94. I'll go 90 on this. They're pretty strident. Give an average of 94.67. Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Anybody? That's a good one.
That's a good one. All right, next category on a scale of 0 to 100. How macabre is Funny Girl?
Okay, there was one moment that I thought was actually super macabre that I wanted to bring up. It was during actually the aforementioned wedding scene when they're cutting to the different Corrines doing their little like speeches of like, the December bride is light and true. And you could see some of the girls who didn't have lines, they were dead inside. Like their eyes were dead. It was dark at That's a few macabre. Of those. I like literally stopped and went back and I was like, this is macabre. Because then it made me think too of like, what is the reality of this world? Of like, here are these like women who just like stand and they're just like human mannequins. If that comes up later, I don't know.
Oh, I
just
hope
like
so.
They're like holding clothes, you know, like just there like to be a rack for fabric, reciting these weird poems. Like, what do they do? Where do they come from? Did they get to experience love? Are they in this weird like afterlife where they just exist to sort of
the characters in the bridal number as what is their reality?
Yes, exactly. And that got a little macabre for me. Again, I haven't left my house in a month and I was probably smoking something. But yes, that got very macabre for me. That got like dark. That those the eyes of some of those chorus girls got dark for me.
Wow.
That is what I'm just putting out there in for this category.
All right. Jimmy, what do you think?
I agree with all that. I'm trying to find those lyrics because they are very...
there's a darkness to them.
There's some depth to them. What did you give it fully?
I haven't given it a number yet. I'm just sort of putting things out there as like ideas and topics.
There's nothing macabre in this.
Because there's not too much macabre, except that you know that everyone on the screen will die eventually.
You just need like one good copy, like a drug overdose or something. You know what I mean? Falling down the stairs.
But that scene where she's dressed up as a girl doing that impromptu, you know, press conference in the back alley, there's a little macabre there.
There is some macabre as dressing like a woman. I'll give it. Oh, God. I want to feel like I'm fair, so I don't want to. I'll give it 15.
15.
Yeah, I'm going to go 15 as well.
15. I'll give it a 0. I didn't think it was macabre at all.
Okay.
All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, wigs.
Are you kidding? 100. Done. Bye.
It's almost entirely wigs, this movie, except for...
It's not wigged?
If it's not a wig, it's a hairpiece.
That's your Real Housewives tagline, isn't it?
Exactly. Try saying that while turning around.
This is almost all wigs all the time.
Yeah.
All wigs all the time.
Do we know if did Omar Sharif wear a piece?
It didn't look like it, but maybe.
If it did, I'm gonna go 98 just for Omar.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'll go 95. Pretty wiggy.
Why would you go, like, okay, I don't understand why, okay. Every person is wearing a wig to the nth degree with curls and side ponies and, like, just, like.
I gotta have somewhere to go.
All right, I get you.
By color, you know, like a Priscilla might get 100.
Okay, no, I understand. Now that you said that, got it.
All
Got
right.
It. Where people recognize the wig, they're like, I'm wearing a wig. And they say it and they put it on their head.
Okay,
I got it. Okay, I understand who you are.
Funny girl?
I'm wearing a wig.
It looks great.
A merkin, really. But go ahead. What's the next one?
All right. On a scale of 0 to 100, quips. How quippy is Funny Girl?
Hello, gorgeous.
It's pretty damn quippy.
It's quippy. It's as quippy as it gets.
Hey, Bryce,
I'm like a bagel on a plate of onion rolls.
Yep.
Right? That's a quip.
That's a quip.
That's a quip.
That is a quip. Yes, we're in agreement.
It's not a quibby, which launched today, but it's a quip.
Thoughts and prayers with everyone involved with Quibi. Wishing you.
I mean, I want to support and elevate everyone who is involved, and I will get my 90 days.
Have you downloaded
Great.
It?
Not yet. Have you?
No.
Of course not. I don't have time for that. I'm in isolation.
Yeah.
I don't want short bites.
What are you supposed to watch when you're watching Quibi? That's what's so great about TV. You look at your phone. What are you supposed to look at when you watch Quibi?
Come on.
Your nails?
Boring.
But you know everyone we know is on Quibi, so we have to.
Right. You have to watch at least one episode.
Hope you have a good year.
I'm really excited for Quibi.
Very excited. So what are you, for Quibi, what are you going to give it?
Wait, what was the question?
Quibi. Quips.
Oh, yeah. 100.
100.
This has more quips than anybody.
I'm going to go 97.
You thought it was pretty quippy.
I did think it was pretty quippy.
I'm going to give it an 80.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Breathing out hard, but I understand because of, I know who you are.
Thank you. I mean, 80's pretty good. I just wasn't bowled over with laughter the entire time.
Okay.
But you also watched it after work.
No, we didn't. It was Sunday.
Right?
3 p.m. on a Sunday.
Like, this should have been a breakfast watch while you're having a sparkling water.
Uh-huh. Effervescent.
Yeah, effervescence. It's yeah.
Not a movie to watch after you've had breakfast. That is nap food.
That's nap central. You're right. Mm-hmm. I will say, this time I watched it, I watched it in three settings.
Oh, interesting.
But by the third setting, I was crying. Sure. It may have been Corona related. I don't know.
I mean, everyone's crying every 45 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So next story. On a scale of 0 to 100, vibrato.
Come on. 100. People. Yeah, I mean,
you have actual singing, and then you have, it is the extraness of everything. So I will also give it 100 for vibrato.
There's extraness in everything.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that extra. I thought it was pretty like old-fashioned and standard, like classic.
I think like the way that Barbara sort of steals the movie and makes it be all about her, like she's so, everything is.
Set the tone of who, she knew who she was from the beginning of her career, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, yeah, I was reading some articles and apparently she was very specific, like she, like Weiler was very, he was like 45 takes and she was like, I need one more, like
like days after they had shot something
two, I say vibrato too, because that first sequence, I will say it, as a modern audience, to have a sequence in the beginning of a film that's literally 5 minutes of someone standing, breathing, and kind of looking at places is a lot. It doesn't set you up as a runway of like, let's get into this. Like, it took 3 minutes before we said hello, gorgeous. And then after that, she walks around and looks. But I think that that adds to the vibrato.
I'm giving it a 75, giving an average of 91.67. Mostly, all my points are for the singing.
All righty.
Category, footwork.
But what singing?
But footwork? What singing? Footwork.
Oh my God, tons of footwork.
A lot of footwork.
Wait, these are your like canon? Footwork is your canon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Well, 100. 100. Tons of footwork. 100.
Would you rather have a category with a zero in the canon?
No.
Play nice.
100 for that canon question.
Have you guys ever seen Starlight Express on or been in it? Were you a,
I have not been in it. I've seen clips from it. I've not seen it.
I've not seen it, but I know every word.
That was on roller skates, right?
That was, yes.
Undeniably. You know it's Krakowski.
Jane Krakowski is one of her first Broadway shows.
That was one of her first Broadway shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Love her.
Hey, Jane.
Mark is such a Jane Krakowski completist. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I am surprised.
Well, I want to have something left to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Your next birthday party.
Starlight Express is the theme. Done. Yeah, for the roller skates, the Swan Lake, also like those camera shots. Yeah, I'll give it 100 as well.
I too will give it 100. Give it an average.
Oh. Yay!
All right, so that brings us to the end of the canon core categories. We're now into our wheel categories. You're going to spin a wheel.
Hey.
And wait, I'm spinning a wheel?
Well, I'm going to spin it for you. So all of the other categories that have existed that have not become part of canon are now on the wheel. So we're going to spin the wheel. Either. Correct, yes. So we're going to spin the wheel. How many times, Mark?
Well, let's just do one at a time. So Jimmy.
But let's say how many we're going to spin.
We're going to do it four times.
Okay. Wait, so I have to stop?
You tell John when to push the button.
Press the button.
Wait, is this taboo? I don't understand. Okay, I'll just say.
So all the wheels, the categories are on this wheel. And so you're going to hit it, whatever it stops on, that's a category that this movie will randomly be judged on. Make sense? We're going to do this four times.
It gives a wheel. That's amazing. I literally thought you made a wheel. Like,
no, it's an app.
But I know my friends. Okay, let's do this.
Okay.
I'll tell you when to stop.
You just tell me when to hit it, and then it goes.
Yeah. Round and round the mulberry bush. Stop. Wait, go.
And caper music is number one. Caper music.
All right, so what would you give this on caper music, Jimmy?
I mean, I think Don't Rain on My Parade is caper music.
Oh, yeah. There's so many capers.
So many.
And there actually is capers in that one dinner scene. But I will say, I'll go 85.
85.
Really? I think Don't Rain on My Parade alone is so iconic. I'm going to give it 95 for that.
I give it 100 then. I give it 100. You guys, 100.
I feel like Mister needs to be sneaky, and you can't sneak to Don't Rain on My Parade. Like, you can't
sneak for yourself, mister.
You can't.
You definitely can't sneak.
You're out loud and proud. You're like leading a marching band.
That's fine. That's her caper.
That is not.
I agree with that.
I'm going to give it, I'll give it a 70 for caper music.
Have you looked up caper music?
I don't know if that is good.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not like doubting you, but I kind of might be. Let me just.
All right, let's do our next wheel category.
Yeah.
You ready?
Spin.
Spinning the wheel. And your next category is wearing another person's clothes.
Where did this come from?
Titanic.
This one, Titanic.
Oh, okay. Well, zero. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think.
John like to say any actor is wearing someone else's clothes.
I did not say that. But I mean, like, they are in costumes wearing other. The performers
right.
are wearing.
Actually, the entire thing takes place in theater, and other people make those. That's not their clothes. But actually, Mark, I'm with John on this one. This is actually exactly what
things
it is.
Are your wardrobe? Where's my wardrobe? Where's my costume?
That's not
yes, but they're wearing the clothes of like another person. Like I'm wearing the clothes of Madame Rose right now.
But yeah, like, if I'm in a play,
who do they belong to?
I don't go home with them when the play ends.
But it's your costume, is it not?
But I don't own it at the end of the run.
That's not my question. I'm not saying it is your costume though. It is fitted to you, is it not?
It is, the costumes exist to play another character.
But they
John,
are,
you get it right.
They are the one playing.
I get it. Yeah, I'm trying to think though. Is there? There's not a moment where does she pretend to not be Fanny Bryce at any point?
No, that would have been great. If
no, of course not. There's no Viola 12th Night BS.
Like, but it would be fun if she was like in disguise at a card game or something.
Sure, sure.
Well, that would be great. But this is also. Oh, have you guys seen the One Man Two Govs? On National Theater.
No, I haven't. I want to
watch
see that.
It. It's good. Everybody watch it. Okay. I'm going to give it a 75 because everyone's wearing costumes that were given to them. So I actually
We could
believe
also say like, Omar Sharif as Nicky Arnstein is wearing the clothes of someone who is successful when he is not.
Oh, please.
Just making arguments. You can buy them or not. It's okay.
That is a stretch.
I mean, I'm into it though. It's very heady.
So wearing other people's clothes, I'll give it a 30.
30.
For the costume.
A zero.
Okay.
Mark.
Sorry, it didn't happen. I don't buy this actors or not don't own their wardrobes or don't
get you, don't. You when you're done with the Big Field Follies.
Someone take that. You think they take the headdresses home? They don't.
I do not think that, but that is not what my argument is based on, whether they paid for them or not. All right.
Your argument is okay.
Spin the wheel, Jimmy.
Spin the wheel. Here we go.
And now. Mm-hmm. Is that how it works?
Shattered glass.
Shattered glass. Is there any shattered glass in this?
No.
John? There was. I don't think. Trying to think if I wrote any down.
Trying to think.
Shattered glass. Shattered glass.
I could look to see if you wrote any down.
I did not write anything down. I did. I couldn't really find anything for shattered glass.
I mean, there are moments within the score that Ira Glass is shattered because he didn't write it.
There's that. There are, you know, Fanny Bryce is shattering glass ceilings as a entertainer.
Right? Yes, yes.
They never said she was the first woman to do this.
Are you kidding?
I bet there are some takes where Barbara Streisand's voice hit a note that shattered some glass.
She's definitely the first woman to stand in a black V-neck in front of a black curtain with glass behind her.
So what are you going to give this for shattered glass?
Zero.
Yeah, I guess a zero.
I will also give it a zero. All right, our final wheel
this
category.
This is a great new system, final you guys.
Spin of the wheel is...
I appreciate it.
Ah, here we go. Breath acting.
Breath acting.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, there's a ton of breath acting in this one. Because here's the thing. There's the singing, which I know Mark isn't always crazy about, but there's a lot of like smoking acting done with cigarettes in this, which is breath acting. There's a lot of breath acting in that way.
Hand acting.
And then also like when they're gambling, there's a lot of like.
Oh, all of the poker is like.
All the poker.
There's a lot of breath.
There's a ton of breath acting in this movie.
A ton of poker breath.
No matter how you want to look at it, there's a ton there.
No, are you kidding? Even Rennie can't deny that. That is like, this is...
I haven't said a word.
I'm just saying, I'm preempting. Okay. You can't deny the breath acting of this. And also, remember when she's doing Pilates on the floor with her gay friend?
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's actually... What?
Yep.
No, that was seemed like Lamaze. But you know what I'm saying. Like it was.
Yeah, they're doing. She was doing core work.
She was doing core work.
Yeah. Ahead of her time.
She was doing the 100. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what
100.
100.
100. I'm going to give it a 99.
I'll give it a 60. All right.
I don't understand. And I understand, John, now your frustration. as a fan, I understand now.
Okay.
All right,
time has come for you to add a category.
What's it going to be?
After this, we will then add it to the wheel categories until after another 20 episodes or so. We maybe want to move it to bonus or canon.
Okay, yeah.
Now, I think that mine is, and it might be too broad, but in my mind, I'm like, if it's a gay movie, the question should be, is it a musical?
Okay.
That's the gay, if it's the gayest movie ever, it needs to be a musical. Is that too far-fetched?
Maybe is it.
I can't imagine it not having musical moments.
Right.
Like you know what I mean? Like even a movie like Boys in the Band has that number that they all do. You know what I mean? Like there's definitely going to be a moment that is elevated with music. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now mind you, my other question could also be, does it have an icon? Because a gay movie having a gay icon elevates it.
Gay icons. That's a good one. That's kind of gay icons.
Gay icon, is that your category?
Or it could just be Barbara Streisand.
Calm down.
It's a little limiting.
It should be gay icon. I want some other people to win.
Oh.
Because Joan Rivers would be a gay icon.
Absolutely.
Right, but it's not quite. Icons? But it's not quite like built on her. So you could say like for Muppets, it could get a score, but not a high score. Whereas something like this, you'd be like, oh, well, this is a Barbra Streisand vehicle.
Exactly. So it actually gives the world for like if there's a cameo by Liza, this
you get you're throwing some points.
Something.
Yeah.
So what
gay icon
question?
Is that your
gay icon?
I love it. Just gay icon is good.
Gay icon.
So what would you
100.
Yeah,
number one, top three gay icons. 100.
I think you gotta go 100 on this one for gay icon, without a doubt.
I agree. You gotta go 100.
You gotta go 100.
All right. So okay. Now we are
in my film category, thank God.
All right. We are now into the bonus round of categories. So these are things we have to agree on.
Okay.
We have wiggle room on some of them. So like the first one is makeover montage. You can get up to a 5% bonus point. So we just have to agree on the number 0 to 5 for makeover montage. There is one I saw when she's singing about the house, when they're like moving into the house.
Mm-hmm.
That entire number is her moving into the house and then becoming a mother. And it's all smart, small clips of her becoming married, decorating her house, and then becoming a mother and decorating the... So I think that that's a 5.
John, what do you think?
Sure, I'll go with that.
I, too, will go with a 5 for that. It is true.
Alrighty.
Next potential bonus, up 0 to 5%. Angry phone hangups.
There are a couple in this one.
There are a couple.
Yeah, Jimmy?
There's a...
relying on John.
You go, John.
There's the first one right before Don't Rain on My Parade. Florenz Ziegfeld. Yes, with Florenz. And also, it was funny because it almost seems tailor-made for this podcast, because right when Nicky Arnstein decides he's going to say yes to that bum deal, he goes to the phone, picks it up, slams it down, then goes back, looks at something, and picks up the phone and makes the call. And we never see him end that call, but he does just pick up the phone and angrily slam it down.
And
so this,
you're right.
Yes, and if it wasn't there, you wouldn't have noticed that it wasn't there. It's there. I think this is a 5.
This is a 5%er. 5.
I'll give it a 5. Sure, why not? All right, next bonus category. Another 0 to 5%. Titular theme song. Is there a song called Funny Girl?
Yeah, they added it for the movie.
There is?
Yeah.
Did you watch
sort of the ballad-y?
I did. Which one was Funny Girl?
The one where she was like, I'm a funny girl.
Yeah.
That sounded like Edie Brickell, but it was more like sounding like her.
It sounded like Barbie Girl.
Yeah. It was right when Nicky Arnstein comes in after he's gotten his sentence for 2 years, but he thinks it'll be 18 months, and he comes in and he's like, this won't work. I love you. I want you to divorce me. And he leaves the room and she like stares into nothingness and says, you're a funny girl. And then it actually transitions to when she's sitting in the leopard coat.
Mm-hmm.
So it is definitely that. 5.
John.
Yeah, I think we gotta go 5.
All right.
Literally called Funny Girl.
All right, next bonus. Fun fonts.
There are a bunch of fun fonts.
Tons
there's
of
the opening.
Fun.
There's the marquee. That's
pretty fun. The marquee.
There's I love a marquee font.
Have you guys ever wanted your name up in lights?
Of course.
Of course. Have you?
Well, not really. I don't care.
Come on, Rennie, lighting up the night sky. Come on.
I mean, Rennie is a very good.
I want my name written on checks. That's what I want. I could care less.
Oh, yeah, I got some checks. I want them checks.
Rennie
is a good name.
Fun fonts, 5%.
5.
Yeah, give it 5.
It starts with fonts. The entire font is like
this movie starts
roll backwards with funny girl, and it ends up being her arm with a roller skate. Yeah. Can you imagine? 5, Mark.
Next
5.
Next category. Cheerworthy cameos. I don't think there are any.
I was looking. There was one moment where I thought one of the chorus girls was Yvonne Craig, who you would know as Batgirl, but it turns out it wasn't. I don't know why I told you that story, but I just wanted something to happen here.
Sure.
So no, I did not see anything that I would deem as a cameo.
Zero.
What would you think of Georgia, her friend, as a cameo?
Which one?
I guess not. She's in multiple scenes. Never mind. No, Georgia.
Yeah, I guess this is there.
The head, like, because she's famous.
Oh, what's her name? Anna.
And they actually got into huge fights. Like, she almost sued them to take her name off of it.
Right, but because anyway, they kept cutting. She has more scenes in the play, yeah, and they just kept cutting them.
0%. Zero.
Zero, yeah.
All right, next bonus. Pool trouble.
Are you kidding me?
There's no pool trouble.
So it doesn't get a bonus. That's okay. It doesn't get penalized.
Yeah, penalized.
Okay. Oh, it doesn't get penalized. No, just
it's
extra on top.
Yeah. This is just extra. These are a bonus.
She ends the entire movie in a pool of light.
That's not a problem, though. It's not trouble. Okay.
It's no trouble.
It's where she belongs.
You're right.
I mean, I guess you could say the trouble is that she was out of the pool of light. So I guess 5%.
No.
Well, the trouble is that she's divorcing her husband in a pool of light.
No, that's a good thing. She needs to be away from that guy.
You're right. Because you're... Okay, I get it. 2.
0. We're giving it a 0, right? It's got to be 0.
All right.
It's 0 for pool trouble.
Yeah. I guess it's collective.
All right. Cassie Best Friends.
Wait, what was it?
Cassie Best Friend.
Oh, are you kidding? Of course.
Who?
Eddie Ryan is her sassy best friend.
The choreographer.
And Mrs. Strakosch and Georgia.
Oh, Mrs. Strakosch, sure.
And Georgia, the one like, oh, when she decides what she's going to do, she's going to do it.
It was really shitty. Fanny was like, I'm going to leave the show 2 weeks early to go after this terrible guy.
Oh, immediately.
But it was love.
But if you were on tour with someone, wouldn't you be pissed?
Well, sure.
Are you kidding? Of course. We'd never talk to them again.
Talk about that.
But so I'm going to give 5 for Sassy Best Friends. All the only conversation she has outside of Nick Arnstein is actually a Sassy Best Friend.
Like this is like a prime example of what you would show for Sassy Best Friends.
Yeah.
I don't know if I go 5 on Sassy Best Friend. I might do like a 2 or 3.
I agree to a 2. Can we agree to a 2?
Can we go 3?
2.5.
You guys, let's go 3.
2.5.
You guys.
Let's do 3.
Let's go to Mark.
Ugh, fine. You're in New York having a tough time.
Thank you, Corona. Next.
Next category. A bold lip.
Oh, so many.
Kind of muted. That was the 60s style, though, I think.
Yeah, there wasn't that crazy of the lip on this.
It was surprisingly, I was actually looking at it and thinking, her lip is almost the same color as her
face. Skin. Yeah.
Like, I thought that
more of a skin tone. Like,
that's so great and delicate. So no bold lips. I won't give
that. Yeah, I would say 0 for a bold lip.
Can we go 0.5?
No. Category, witch. Are there a lot of witches in this?
Wait, what?
These are just bonus.
This is a bonus. These are bonus categories.
Your bonus category is witch?
Yeah. I'm always delighted when witches show up.
I mean, some of those older women were kind of witchy.
There's no witchy element. I got an eye for witches.
Okay. I'm fine with a 0 for witches.
But now, mind you, early America thought that anyone who was different was a witch.
So, if Funny Girl were set in Salem, Massachusetts, then it would be a different story. Okay.
The three women, clearly, that are like the friends of Fanny's mother are all from different countries.
Yeah, yeah.
And one may be... Okay, 0.
Is anyone more entitled to saying...
They could get their hands on some Eye of Newt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said, is anyone more entitled to saying Don't Rain on My Parade than the Witches of Salem? No.
Never. Certainly the Witches of Eastwick.
Not a one.
All right, next category. 5% bonus. How Korean is Funny Girl?
Pretty Korean.
Not Korean at all.
Pretty Korean.
Like a 0 for how Korean?
I need to study. I'm going to say no at this point. Look, I could come back to this topic in a month or so and be like, this is why it's utterly Korean. You know what I mean?
So do that research and get back to us.
I'll get all back. Right.
Yeah, I guess we're 0 for Korean.
0 for Korean. All right, next category. 5% bonus. How much felt is in it?
100.
There's a bunch of felt. There's a lot of felt in this movie.
Wallpaper.
It's all felt.
That, yes, that wallpaper was had a lot of felt on it.
Tables.
Yeah, I think this is a 5 for felt.
It's a 5, yeah. All right. Next bonus, gay actors playing gay roles.
Well, I think...
Do we know? You guys are pitching this choreographer.
I think the choreographer, and I've looked into it, and he was in a lot of other Broadway shows. And then we have, so I think definitely him. Now, mind you, the guy that played Florenz Ziegfeld.
Florenz. Walter Pigeon.
Which is actually something in the show. He is his name is Walter Pigeon.
Yeah.
And he married someone named Edna Pickles, which clearly is a beer. But apparently there was this guy, Bobby somebody. You guys, I actually know the information, but it's very late here in New York. But apparently he was a gay man. And this guy, Bobby, was a Hollywood pimp from the 40s to the 80s.
Oh,
and Gore Vidal was actually like, his book's right. All those people are right. And he had a relationship with Florenz.
But Ziegfeld wasn't gay, the character. This is gay.
Let's just get. Was he not gay?
Didn't seem like it.
I mean,
Florenz.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
He puts women in bathing suits as brides. That's
so,
like.
Yeah, gay. I don't think Florenz Ziegfeld was gay.
So what are you gonna give it? One.
Two.
Maybe choreographer that we're not sure just because he was.
With the choreographer, 3. You guys, 3.
John, what do you
give it? I'll say 1.
So let's say 2, then.
But if you're dealing with movies pre, we can come out of the closet and be happy and not be
right.
Bonus is not being.
That's penalized. A hard one, you know.
Not being penalized.
Okay. Not being penalized. Just a bonus.
Just a bonus. All right. We got a lot more bonus. Don't you worry. We're almost done. Okay. All right. Themes of mothers.
Oh,
there's definitely some mother stuff going on in this.
Yeah, mother's like living vicariously through her daughter.
Yeah, the whole if a girl isn't pretty number.
Yeah. Shits on her when she's
down. She has a child that we never see again.
Mm-hmm.
His mother doesn't have her daughter's back in times of trouble.
Yeah, right? And like she chooses like being a wife and a mother over her career, which is not going to work out or last.
So what are we going to give it? It's not what the movie's about, though, ultimately.
But I would say 3 or 4.
Oh, okay. Since this is my first time at bat, 5, because I'm not comparing it to anything. And there's a lot of mother action. It starts with a mother. The first.
What do you want to say, Mark?
I want to say 3. And John's a 3. Jimmy's a 5. So 3.5.
Sure.
We could do decimals.
I said 3 or 4.
Well,
let's go 4.
I mean, 4 would then be the average.
Who cares? All right. A feels song.
Yeah. I mean, this is 5% people.
That song is trash.
It doesn't matter. It puts people in their feels.
No, I would say Don't Rain in My Parade is more of a feel song.
Well, great. 5% either way.
I just disagreed on I think people. If someone's favorite song is People, they're like in a cult.
The cult of Barbara.
Song in the score.
I agree, but it still is like the song that people will be like, cool. Yeah. But I think 5.
I'm fine with 5. All right.
People need tons of things. People who need carrots. People who need.
Where's their song?
Done. Yeah, I mean, done.
All right. We only got 3 more. We're almost done. Gossip. Is there a lot of gossip in this on 0 to 5%?
There's tons of gossip in this.
Is there?
There's a table of women that just gossip.
That's a ton of gossip.
Thing in the movie.
There's all the chorus girls. There's that scene where they're like, everyone knows but you, Fanny. Your husband's this.
Right.
That's super gossip.
5.
I go 5 for gossip.
All right, 5. All right, next or last 2, finally.
last 2.
15% bonus for positive portrayal of homosexuality.
I wouldn't give it that because I feel like they don't really.
I feel like this one should be binary. We should be like yes or no. It should just be
yeah.
You have it or you don't.
I think this one's a no.
All right, no. No. I don't want to upset the cart.
Thank you. All right, finally. -50% if this is the movie Cruising.
This is not the movie Cruising, so we'll not be penalized 50% of its score.
It is not Cruising. Could you imagine if I'm like, actually, it's Cruising?
Oh, we were so close.
Okay. You guys ready for this?
I'm ready. Very exciting. This is the first
result. Wait, so you just push a button, and then we get our results?
Yep. Isn't it exciting? Isn't it a wonderful time to be alive? So this is the first new, the first score out of the new scoring system. So this is, who knows what to expect? This is very exciting.
Yes, I don't know what the total possible points though are, but I do have the number. I have the total, but I don't know what it's out of, but I'm sure that's in there somewhere. Anyway,
well, how do we know?
So then how would we be able to figure out the percentage?
We got the percentage. It's fine. Don't you worry.
Okay. All right.
So out of the total possible, Funny Girl has scored 1,997.28, giving it an average of 69.35, making it the gayest movie ever.
Are you kidding?
What?
Oh my God.
Jimmy, you did it.
You saved my Corona dream. You have no idea.
Yay. Jimmy, you did it.
Oh my God.
Ahead of Muppets Take My Hatton by 18.18%.
Oh my
wow.
God. Take that, Janice.
Oh. You did it, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you did it.
How do you guys feel?
Right now, I really hope the audio comes out on this.
Okay. Of course it won't. This entire episode will go to the bin.
Wow, that's exciting. Okay. Jimmy, how do you feel?
I'm clearly ecstatic. Like when I, once again, I had other things that I wanted to bring to the table, but when I was like, I need to get the gayest movie ever, I knew that my girl with fingernails would come through with Hello Gorgeous, and I think she did.
She did. Clearly.
Take that, Rodriguez. Yeah.
All right. Congratulations. Jimmy, we're
going Jimmy.
To go to a second segment here, but we're just going to keep you around. I asked Instagram to ask us if they had any questions for us. So we're going to do some rapid fire questions. All right.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. Great. What's Hawkeye's pod? We were a guest on their podcast. Wants to know the gayest Ethan Hawke movie. And Reality Bites just because of Janine Garofalo? I don't know.
I guess so. Has Ethan Hawke, he doesn't really play gay that much.
I don't think he ever.
I'd say the gayest Ethan Hawke movie is his stage version of Mark Twain.
Oh.
Doesn't he like Mark Twain now?
Gattaca.
Oh, Attica? Oh, definitely, with Gattaca. Uma.
Yeah.
And also Dead Poets Society.
Oh, that one's really gay.
Oh, that's real gay. Oh, that's the gayest. That.
Yeah, that one.
All right. All right, next one. Paul Yom N, okay, wants to know thoughts on how much Barbara changed the stage play to make the movie.
I'm not familiar with the stage play. Do you know it, Jimmy? Have you ever done it?
I do. I mean, there's a lot of, it also goes to that thing to where like the composers create a new song just so they can
get an Oscar, right.
So they did change some things and get rid of some of the songs. But now, mind you, a lot of these songs were all things that Fanny Bryce actually sang. Like My Man, song that happens at the end is a Fanny Bryce song. The Secondhand Rose, that's a Fanny Bryce song, you know? Right. So
he also asked, are we all safe and well? And I think, yeah, we're all hanging in there. We're all doing fine.
Thank you for doing it.
And then BooFire85 wants to know, who are two movie characters that would for sure murder each other during quarantine?
Like a Cheech and Chong or a Bill and Ted or a Harold and Kumar. Like a Thelma and Louise, a Turner and Hooch.
These people would kill each other, you think?
No, I'm just throwing out possibilities.
Maybe the Elf King and Jennifer Connelly in Labyrinth.
Yep. Sure. I could see that.
Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees would get on each other's nerves.
Definitely,
if they met.
Will Conover wants to know, is there any replacement for the cinema experience? Thoughts like on a Netflix party? Like, I hope movies, they're talking today that AMC might not recover, and like, that's my go-to movie. I go to the movies once or twice a week. I mean, yeah. if we lost that.
I don't think it's going to go away, much like I don't think like live theater is ever going away. I think it might not have the height or the sort of like the place and culture that it always has had, but I don't think it's going away.
I hope not.
I think the next step is that like virtual, like Oculus watching a movie to where you're that close to it.
But there's something about being in a room with other people and like hearing the laughter, hearing the screams of a horror movie.
I think that's the thing too, that also you get with live theater that people love. Yeah. If there's a way that technology can like actually like project us into a space where we feel like we're with other people, which feels like a long time away, but who knows? I feel like that will be the true game changer when you can feel like you're live in a room with other people.
The only difference is with that, like you have to like, in an actual theater stage or movie, you have to like be quiet. You have to, you know, you can affect.
Right, of course.
Like if it's virtual, like you lose that element and it feels like there's you're removed a bit and that kind of loses the excitement for it in a way, you know?
But it's like when we went and saw, what was that movie we saw that Hiller was in that we loved?
Greta.
Wait, was it?
Greta.
Remember that was a very, uh-huh. There were some people that became so, we're talking back, and it felt very...
It was one of the most fun times I had in a theater.
It was the most fun in the theater, yeah.
All right, next question. Lord Lennox wants to know, will the Muppets finally be dethroned? Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, gorgeous.
Take that, Muppets.
Airstream song. Favorite end times movie?
Oh, The Last Comet.
The Last Comet?
You don't know that movie?
No.
It's a horror movie in the 80s, but I know that all the girls that are alive go to a mall that's and they can shop by themselves.
Great.
That's probably going to be a great makeover montage.
You would hope.
You'd think.
Mad Marchain wants to know, how fabulous are the face masks? They're not fabulous.
What face masks?
Just that people wear out and about nowadays, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah, they're not fabulous.
What movie do we really wish someone would select for the pod?
Because I wanted to select it, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. I feel like it would kill.
That would probably do very well.
I would love a Mamma Mia 2. I feel sequels are inherently campier than the originals.
True.
Grease 2
is another big one, yeah.
Are we sad Midnight Madness isn't in the top five anymore? Totally Brian asks.
I'm okay.
That movie stinks.
Although I will say, I did love it growing up.
Yeah, I have a fondness for that movie, but I don't think it is particularly gay.
I loved Pixie 6, too. You don't see me hitting those anymore.
Heck no. Okay. Or have you not? Come on.
I haven't.
Okay.
All right. Melissa. Oh, that was Max Hardenbrook who asked about what movies we wish people would ask. All right, we only got a few more. I'm going quicker. Melissa wants to know, any quarantine movie suggestions?
The Platform.
The Platform on Netflix, now streaming. I would say, I just watched it, Portrait of a Lady on Fire on Hulu was amazing.
Okay.
Didn't you love it?
I loved it.
I loved it. Yeah. But it was literally like, the director was like, after you say one line, count to 10, and then say another line.
It's like so nice. Also, like the fact that it's subtitles, like you have to put your phone down.
You have to pay attention.
So well directed and acted. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's Faulkner. Yeah.
Great.
You got one, John?
Oh, what is it? A quarantine movie?
Yeah.
Here's one thing we did last week that was fun. We watched Nightmare on Elm Street 2 and then we watched the documentary about it. That was fun. That's a fun double bill.
Wait, there's a documentary about
Nightmare on Elm Street 2. Yeah.
I'll do that. That sounds good.
And it's great. A few other Rodan Whitehouse and Holly Dahl just send their love. So thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for sending in those wonderful questions. John, you got a review to read?
Oh, yes. Hold on. I got one little review we got from our little podcast app. This is from Solo 1009. I love the show. It always makes me laugh out loud at work. And I love the guests' movie choices and the fun themes the hosts choose. Screens for Halloween, da-da-da. Listened to the Wire episode first since I love Doughboys, but stayed for the hosts' infectious laughter and sharp senses of humor. Absolutely adore you guys. Also, could not stop yelling during the last episode when you reviewed Parasite. Because there's a huge cheerworthy cameo for me that I actually gasped aloud for in the theater and smacked my dad to tell him about. Park Seo-joon plays the son's college friend. He's a wonderful actor in his own right, very popular in Korea, has been in a ton of stuff. I've loved him in everything I've ever seen him in. You guys are making faces. Is that because you can't see me? Or are you just being goofy? I guess Mark would say it's too long to be a cameo, but I definitely whisper scream for him. I'd say it was worth at least 20 points. Anyway, adore the show. Can't wait to see what movies you guys do next and eagerly anticipate what you decide to do for the great category of Colleen of 2020. I'm sure it'll be just as Byzantine in the scoring system itself, and I'm here for it, Sophie. Thank you so much, Sophie.
Thank you, Sophie. I wish we had known that as well.
You guys, thank you for having me. This has been such a delight.
Jimmy, thank you for being our first guest back.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
So thrilled. I have so many projects right now. Like, people are inundating me with just like, do this movie. All like, I need you on Sunday. Are you kidding? I have nothing. My entire life is all. Every job is canceled. My one job is your podcast, and you're not. So, you know.
Sorry.
You guys, my Venmo is Jimmy Ray Bennett. No, and I'm Jimmy Ray Bennett on all platforms. So
all the platforms, the one and only. Well, thank you so much. It's been a delight catching up with you.
Yes.
Contact Two Old Queens on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, T-W-O Old Queens.
Or you can email us at twooldqueens, D-W-O, old queens, at gmail.com. Let us know what we got wrong or what you love or all that fun stuff. Yeah, so nice to be back. Hope you guys are all safe and healthy and all that stuff. Anything else?
I don't think so. Thanks for listening. Hope the audio quality is fine. We'll find out. I don't know.
Yes, exactly. Goodbye. Now
it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arche. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
We'll start with you. You, number 24.
My name is Sheila. What do you want to know?
Why don't you tell me why you're in this business?
I wanted to be a ballet dancer. What else? The light, by the way, is a very funny color. Do you have anything softer?
Don't worry about the light.
It's very harsh.
So tell me.
What?
Do you always come on like this?
No, sometimes I'm aggressive.
Will you just bring it down?
Bring what down?
Your attitude, miss.
It's Sheila.
Okay, Sheila. Why don't you tell me about your parents?
My parents?
Yeah.
Well, my mother was a ballerina until my father made her quit.
Really?
Really.
Tell me more.
Tell you more?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.